Now, we go from ESPN boxing last night to L.A., the City of Angels, are bringing the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant. And how are you and the godmama this morning, sir?
Oh, we have some blue sky, real chilly for this time of year, but we're doing all right. We're getting prepared to move and downsize and all that good stuff, and when you're locked up, things can go on.
Are you going to have a flea market type of thing in the garage, the driveway, or
well,
something, or what?
They call it an estate sales down here. we got thousands of square feet of stuff that has to be stuffed into an apartment, and so there's a lot of stuff we'll sell or give away or donate or whatever.
Stuff, and the stuff is like, it's so wide. I mean, your stuff cannot be, it's got stuff. Stuff is a word that's so wide. All the memorabilia and stuff like that, are you going through any of that stuff? Like, would you want to keep what you want? I mean, is this going to be hard? Like,
yeah, it's a tough one because I've got a lot of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a limited amount of space. I have a lot of books, and I've got to decide what books can come along with me. I've got five action figures, if you know what those are,
yeah,
from the Rocky Balboa movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to figure out, well, who can I distribute them to in my narrow phase of life.
Hmm. Well, that's going to be one hell of an estate sale, no doubt about it. So is the godmama going to auction off any of the stuff that she has from her Hollywood days or what?
I don't know. I think we're avoiding the subject because it's too tough.
Oh, it would be because, when I move, I try to, like, get rid of stuff, okay? And, move every 10, 15 years, something like that. But I moved a couple times in the last 5 years. And I tried to, like, downsize and throw this away and throw that away. And I end up bringing junk that I had never used or I never looked at. And don't ask me why. I'm not a hoarder, but I have it's weird. I can't let go of.
It piles up.
Yeah, it piles up. Anyway, did you get a chance to see Mr. Navarrete in action last night on ESPN?
I'm sorry. We didn't. It was a movie night for us last night.
And what'd you watch?
Let me think. What was the name? Oh, it was A Rainy Day in Manhattan.
Okay. All right.
A Woody Allen movie.
Hey, speaking of Woody Allen, he got a lot of heat. In fact, they're like coming up with specials on him and this and that. And I sort of looked at the whole, I'm a nosy guy. I'm really nosy when it comes to like celebrities and this and that. And I'll look into stuff and dig deep, being the investigative reporter that I used to be. And he married like his stepdaughter or a stepdaughter that had nothing to do with him as far as like blood was concerned, and they've been together for like 35 years or something like that. Now, why can't they just let him live?
Well, because we live in a time when if you said spit 25 years ago, they want to hang you from the tallest tree.
Thank
it's
God.
It's a way of coping with the change that's happening in the social ramble.
Okay.
And but he was accused of doing some bad stuff to, I don't know, his kids. He's denied it. Courts have come down in his favor and
yep,
in her favor, and I don't know the whole, to use a German word, Geschichte.
But you would think, it's like 30 years. It's been 30 years, I think. It's been about 25 or 30 years. You think she would let go. I watched her on TV, Mia Farrow, and she was like vindictive and vengeful and almost vicious.
Well,
it's personal.
That reveals who she is, and maybe it's the only way she can cope with what she feels happened to her.
You know, I'll ask you a couple questions here. When you were at HBO, there were some controversial times, like when you thought the mariachi band with Oscar in Texas. I think you made a crack about that, and then you made a couple other cracks, and then Mr. Mayweather and you got into a little bit of a tiff where it got to the point where the paparazzis were following you and the Godmama all around L.A. What were those? Was there undue pressure and stress attached to that, or was it just part of the game?
Well, I had never experienced those things, but I'm fortunately pretty oblivious, and I just shrug it off and laugh it off. When after the Mayweather incident, I heard that I was being called a racist on the in part of the internet. I just said, "Okay, I don't have to look at that." Yeah. Who are those people? Do they know what I've done in the past regarding race in sports, particularly? So I being oblivious as I am has its downsides. But in terms of the blowback of the public, it works.
Well, you know, I don't know. I thought the Mayweather thing was a little cute. I think you told him if I was 30 years younger, this and that. I mean, that's sort of like that roiled the internet. And what's funny is that Mayweather has a group of fans, Godfather, and they're unlike any other group of fans. They're almost like a distinct different. They're like a different sect. I don't know how to say it. Among boxing fans, they're like a different sect. They have a vision of the world that's 50-0, and that's all there is to it. I mean, you and I know that he wasn't the most exciting fighter of all time, and when it came to putting together exciting fights and putting people and taking care of business, he elected to get point wins when he could have stepped it up. Like Ray Leonard said, how do you become great? You gamble. Floyd Mayweather never gambled.
Two thoughts. One is that he was very exciting until the first bell rang. and the second thing was that he shrewdly built an image, and those people found him, and vice versa. And allowed him to make the biggest purses in the history of boxing. So, as if from a business point of view, it worked.
Yeah, from a business point of view, it worked, no doubt about that. And he talks about, you know, wanting to preserve himself because his uncle Roger Mayweather did die as a result of the residual effects of combat sports. So I can feel his pain, this and that. But he never listened. He never, I mean, outside of knocking out Ricky Hatton, I can't think of anything on his resume that really makes me want to go back. I mean, I never wanted to see another Mayweather fight. In other words, ooh, did you see that Mayweather fight? Let's go see him again. And that was never, I was never compelled to do that like I was with Durant or Leonard or Hagler or Hearns or Pryor or anybody like that.
Well, in his own way, he built an image through television. He talked a great game. He talked an exciting game, of course, and then he fought a dull game. But he did beat a lot of top fighters, almost all of whom were in the late or last stages of their careers. He created a fan base of suckers who were born every day, if not every minute.
Speaking of suckers who were born every minute, there's guys on YouTube boxing, and they did like 2 million pay-per-view buys last week. This Jake Paul guy, I was like blown away by that. But imagine that, Godfather, a fraudulent card put together by a bunch of scammers. I mean, and they were. I mean, guys not fighting real guys and guys fighting wrestlers and that kind of good stuff, and they do 2 million buys?
Well, all I can say is apparently in today's world, and this has been magnified by the pandemic, that's showbiz.
Or there are still suckers being born?
Well, with everybody locked indoors for such a long time, I imagine so.
Okay. You in the mood to stick around a little while, or are you and the godmama going places today?
We're just doing our reading and probably watch the Oscars tonight.
We'll give her a big kiss, Maureen, a hug, and we'll talk soon, sir.
Are we still on?
Let's stick around then. I'll see you after the break. The retired HBO Godfathers will stay in the house. We're talking about Larry Merchant. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 23 minutes past the hour. Sugar and
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. When I hold you in my
arms, I know that I can't do no wrong. I'm going to tell you something. When Henry Armstrong and Sugar Ray Robinson, back in their days, they didn't fight the top guy every time. And that was a time when money was scarce. And they had to fight a lot to live a lot. I am very excited about Canelo's plan to fight 3 or 4 times next year. If that's every 3 months, that's a big deal. Maybe it will inspire other top fighters to fight more. But if I know that Canelo is fighting every 3 or 4 months and I have something to look forward to, I think that's a really good thing for boxing. You know, there are guys out there he should fight, like Charlo, and like maybe they're demanding too much money. Maybe the promoters want stuff that they're not going to get. I don't know. But I'm glad that Canelo is going to be out there and wants to be great. And maybe he's answering the cries of his people to fight more, but... I think it would be a great thing for the comeback of boxing after the pandemic that he has fought 3 or 4 times in a year.
Well, he's already fought once this year, early in January. Of course, he comes back May the 8th against Billy Joe Saunders, the unbeaten WBO title holder, the Gypsy from the UK. Of course, he's got a date in September during Mexican Independence Day that weekend. And of course, he'll come back allegedly, or supposedly, scheduled in a fight for late November, early December. Check it out. He is moving. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez. Godfather,
Pedro, I have a question for you.
Go ahead, sir.
What's up with Ryan Garcia?
He's got some emotional... He's depressed. He's got some emotional issues, and he's got some chemical imbalances, you know. I would have a hard time pitching this to you, okay? But when you get sad, if you're sad for longer than a week... Technically and medically, you're depressed. And I've been sad for a long time over deaths and things like that, and says for a prolonged period of time where I felt a bit of depression and things like that. And with some people, it's just overwhelming. And there's a lot of pressure on that kid. He's like 21, 22 years old. He's got the world and, you know, all these Instagram people following him. He's a cult hero in some regards and this and that.
Well, that's something that interests me, Pedro, in the sense that we've seen promising young fighters that were superstars in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar Ray Leonard when he came out of the Olympics. Oscar De La Hoya when he came out of the Olympics. There are a number of them that didn't pan out. But I'm just wondering if this current phase where a fighter has hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers on social media, the expectations are so great that it runs past the development as a prize fighter. So, I'm just wondering whether they pulled out of that fight with Fortuna. Maybe they thought it was a little bit too much right now.
You know, I often agree with you. Probably not this time. I just thought that emotional issues. See, I have a hard time broaching the subject with you because I think you're one of the most mentally tough people I've ever been around. So I have a hard time breaching the subject. But some people aren't as mentally tough as you. They just aren't. They aren't as mentally tough as me. And I'm not all that mentally tough. But some people just don't have the mental toughness. And emotional situations break them down. And evidently, Ryan Garcia has broken down to an extent, and, you know, hopefully he can rekindle himself. And I'll say this. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of drugs out there like Prozac and all that kind of good stuff and Zoloft and all these different antidepressant drugs. But the last thing I want is a prize fighter on one of those antipsychotic, you know, those, one of those type of drugs. So I'm hopefully he can straighten his life out with out a pharmaceutical intervention.
It's just an unusual situation. I mean, a young prize fighter has the whole world laying out in front of him. Has planned for this moment for years, and when it comes, he's finding a hard time to deal with all the responsibility he may feel to these fans. And is it asking too much of a 21, 22-year-old to have to satisfy such a large fan base? It's an interesting question because he's not going to be the first one that builds a fan base through social media and then has to live up to it.
Good point. You know, I got a question coming in here on a Shot Me a Text. Do you think that Triller, the fact these new squares are involved in boxing and purchasing fights and things like that, is it good for the game? Because they're spending a lot of money. In fact, Teofimo's going to make almost $4 million, and the deal Aaron was offering was only going to make $1.3 million.
I don't know about them, or maybe I do, and I'm not aware of their reach. Who are you talking about exactly?
Is this Peter Kahn guy? Somehow we ran into him over the years. I just don't remember him.
So you're saying that there are guys who don't have promotional contracts but are offering multiples of what the normal pay rate would be for certain fighters and trying to break up the relationship of fighters and their promoters so he can take them over?
It looks that way. I mean, you know, these Snoop Doggy Dog people bid like $6 million on the fight. Aaron bid like $2 million on the fight, so they outbid Aaron for the fight, and they won the rights to do that Combrasus Teofimo Lopez fight for that title fight. And of course, and then Aaron came out the next day and said, "Well, if you think so much of the guy, why don't you just buy his contract from me?" So obviously, Teofimo and Bob aren't on the same page right now.
Well, does Bob get a share of the fighters? The purse?
He said it was the easiest $1 million he ever made in his life.
Okay. Well, the old-fashioned way sometimes works, too.
You know, hey, you know, were you there the day in Las Vegas when we had, I forget what fight it was, but maybe it was a Hagler fight, and I think we were at Caesar's Palace, and he lied. He lied one day. Somebody was asking him a question. He lied about it. And he came back the next day, and he stood at the same dais, the same podium, and he said, "Yesterday I was lying, but today I'm telling the truth." Do you remember that one?
Yes. For a long time, Bob was infamous for that. But I don't know if it was Hagler or someone else.
Innocent. That kind of stuff, now that you look at it back in hindsight, is innocent compared to some of the scandalous stuff that's
I expect promoters to at least stretch the truth.
Well, that's what they do. There's no, I mean,
they're salesmen.
That's their salesmen, no doubt about that. Godfather, you have a great week. You and the Godmom, I thank you so much for your time this and that. So, you guys are going to chill and you guys are going to like pack things up and going to figure out what you're going to keep and what you're not going to keep and that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, and who we're going to give stuff to.
What is this? Okay.
Stay tuned.
Okay, this is probably the hardest thing you've done in decades.
Yes, you are correct, sir.
I mean, because you're gonna be second guessing yourself the whole time. Oh, it's gonna be terrible. Anyway, kiss the Godmama. We'll talk real soon, and I wish you the best this week, okay, sir?
Have a good week yourself.
Man, the greatest, the one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Mr. Larry Murphy, no doubt about that, without a doubt. having Larry on the show each and every week is a privilege. It's not something everybody gets to have. I mean, and I just love him dearly. Of course, I was thinking about the first time we met, April 15th, 1985. It was like the 36th year anniversary. It took place about a couple of weeks ago. And like, we're after the Hagler-Hearns fight, and Larry walks up to me and goes, "Could you believe it?" I mean, that's what sort of started this relationship. Could you believe it? And that's what started it. 36 years later, we're still rocking and rolling. We talk a couple of times a week. Of course, the retired HBO Godfather, a Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. Now, after the break, we're bringing the WBC president, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman. He'll come to us. He is queued up, and he's ready to rock on Skype. Yes, this is great news. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV.